Welcome to the Whitetail Obsession Podcast with Dave Richmond and co-host Chris Worthing, where we talk and teach everything deer and turkey hunting related. Follow along as we help teach you tips and techniques about hunting, food plots, and habitat management strategies that everyone can use.
I'm gonna kill you.
Chris, start it up.
Start us up.
Start it up, Dave.
Start us up.
It's your turn.
Podcast 70.
I got to do everything.
No, I got to do everything.
Episode 70.
Just like your age, 70.
Close.
You're deteriorating. You're 70 years old. You know what I started taking today? Not that I necessarily need it.
Gummies.
Yet. No. I started taking chondroitin, whatever it is. It's a joint for joints.
You got
for
weak joints.
No, but all the walking and hiking and climbing and stuff I do,
You're gonna have calcium deposits.
No, I figured I'd started taking it now to prevent issues in the future. I bought a really good brand, so thinking ahead, you know, you got to plan ahead. I plan on living to 102, so. What'd you do last weekend? Anything hunting related? Give the audience some info.
Went to visit my parents in Pittsburgh.
That's not hunting related.
Nope.
You slacked. You didn't do anything.
Pretty much no.
Did you mow clover?
Not yet. I checked the clover.
Yeah, well.
The established clover is popping.
Here's what I did.
Frosty is not.
Yeah, I went to my farm, and my clover was amazing. I ended up mowing it, and it was like 7-8 inches tall, lush, green, thick, and I ended up mowing that with my pull behind mower, and I made a video about the farmer's field and my food plot for YouTube. That's what I did. And I did some turkey to look for check cameras, check, you know, turkeys and stuff. Because Saturday's youth day, right?
Yeah.
In PA. Yep. And then the following weekend is opening day. And I'm actually going out Saturday to hunt turkeys in Maryland.
Mm.
So I'm pretty excited. Hopefully I get two. And hopefully I shoot one this weekend, one next weekend. And one of those two, I'm getting a turkey mounted.
Yeah.
And I don't have a turkey mount yet, so all I want is one turkey mount. You have one?
I do not.
Yeah. I don't even know how much they are.
I don't know. They just never really interested me.
Yeah. I mean, I only say that because I visited my uncle a couple months back, and he had one. And it was in his game room, and it looked really cool. So.
Yeah.
I want to.
They do look pretty cool.
Yeah.
Like if I got one, I'd probably get a full mount strutter.
That's what I'm doing. That's what it was.
That'd be pretty nice.
The one he had, the wings were spread out and all that, but I think I would get one that's strutting.
Yeah.
So
I think
we'll see.
Would be pretty neat.
Yeah. Anyway, podcast 70. I figured we'd do this today because we're pretty close to planting season here. Some guys, depending on state you're in, may have planted, but there's a lot of different varieties of seed you can plant, and each one kind of has a purpose and certain scenarios that you should plant it. And I get questions all the time because, you know, people always say, well, what should I plant? I live in this state, or it's very vague.
Yeah.
So I have a list of the most common ones that people have asked me, and this goes back. I just thought back for months and months and years of the most common ones that people ask. So each one basically is going to be, could you plant this? Could you plant this species? And I want you to give your take on if you should plant it, go over the situations if you should plant it, and then I'll go over the situations that I think if you should plant it.
You gonna list them, or are you gonna go one by one?
We'll go one by one.
All right, go ahead.
I think I have like 8, 7, or 8 of them, and we'll run through them. And right, just keep in mind, audience that's listening, is that we're going to give you opinions or best case scenarios if you should plant it. But ultimately, it's your property, so it goes a little bit more in depth. You're going to need a little bit more info. Like, you know your property best, but I feel like we'll describe it as if best case scenario.
Okay.
So no, there's nothing absolute. First one is going to be, should you plant soybeans?
Soybeans.
So why don't you go first, and then I'll jump in. Why should somebody plant soybeans for a food plot? Maybe some pros, some cons. What's the purpose of maybe planting them?
Okay.
Benefits to the deer and so forth. Some downfalls, so forth.
I will put the disclaimer out there that I have never planted soybeans on my own property. That
you have, Dave, with me.
Yeah, Dave and I planted them on a lease that we had before. And the benefits of soybeans, if you're going to leave them stand, they will create a pod. They're high in protein. And the other benefit is, it's a legume. It'll fix nitrogen to your soil if you want to use it for green manure and till that back in. But one of the cons is when they start to turn brown and, you know, yellow out and get brownish color, they don't come back for eating them. I don't know if they lose flavor or what. They just don't seem interested in them once they get browned out like that.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of the farmers, when they start to, if they're farming them, they take them and harvest them at that point in time or just before. Mm-hmm. One of the things that you have to realize if you're going to plant them for a food plot, obviously, you have to plant enough of them for the herd, because they will demolish something like that in a hurry. Once they find them, it's like too late. So you have to have enough to go around. But other than that, I mean, farmers plant them as a rotation crop opposite of corn. But we're talking just food plotting. You know, a lot of guys, I don't really believe in having soybeans in a blend, because normally it's not enough to support the herd. It's just there as a candy crop, just something to attract them. But like I said, once they find it, it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
So if I was going to do it, I would plant them probably no less than like 3 or 4 acre plot. And that depends on where you're at and how many deer you're supporting.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my take on soybeans. That's all I know.
My take on it is, and I see it a lot too from consulting, is a lot of times that people try to plant them is because it's the candy crop. You know, the people want to plant them because of the excitement of it. They have to plant soybeans to, you know, feed the deer or whatever. But
they're definitely attractive.
Yeah. Most times they fail. So people will plant like a half acre or an acre and they'll just get wiped out, which some guys will say, well, that's not really fail. They ate what I planted. Well,
right.
It's true, but you want something to be able to last up until your fall food plot. Or if you're planting enough acres of them to allow them to last into the wintertime where you get the pods.
Mm-hmm.
So there's definitely pros and cons to them. I think most food plotters don't need to plant straight soybeans. But hey, me and you planted them at the farm, and that was in a big wood setting where there was no other food around. I knew there would be a lot of browse pressure, so we put up a dual perimeter electric fence, and I protected them for about 45 days, and then I took the fence down, and it allowed them out. No, they never wiped them out. They couldn't keep up with them. So there was deer in there, you know, hammering them, and they were able to keep up with the browse pressure. But the key to that is you have to get them above the second leaf. If they germinate and they bite them right away, they die. But if they get above that second leaf, yeah, most times they'll continue to grow after that. From, you know, like a feeding scenario, I mean, yeah, they can feed deer. They're high in protein, but I don't think it's a crop that most people should plant. Now, I say all this, but I'm planting soybeans this year. And the reason being, I'm planting Domain's blend of soybeans, but I'm putting it up against the field, the farmer's field. Mm-hmm. And the farmer is going to plant soybeans, and I have my food plots along those fields, along his crop. So I'm just doing a simple test of, hey, here's my soil. I have perfect soil, perfect, you know, nutrients in the soil. I'm planting this soybeans up against the farmer's field. Which ones are they going to focus on? Because I know his field is not manicured like my small food plot. So I want to have trail camera videos, cell cams, everything. Where are the deer feeding? So that's my test. And you know, I've planted enough to know, like, hey, I maybe need to double my rate, you know, because you can double your rates on soybeans to get more of them to help sustain the pressure and so forth. So there's, you know, pros and cons, like you said too. But I think most times people don't need to plant soybeans.
Yeah. What was the other one?
Should you plant clover? So you go on that one first.
I absolutely would tell everybody to plant clover. Mm-hmm. Even if you're mixing it with another blend or anything. Clover is king. 365. It's there all year. Yes, it goes dormant in the winter, but they still hit it now and then. Mm-hmm. When there isn't anything else around, clover is always there. Clover's hard to wipe out. Clover's very hardy.
It won't die.
Yeah, it's very hardy. It's one of the first things to green up in the spring along with your grains. It fixes nitrogen. It's just an all-around good thing. Mm-hmm. You know, and you can get clover to grow in places that other blends won't. You know, you can put it in low pH, it'll grow. I mean, maybe not optimal, but it's going to grow for you, whereas other blends that you spend a bunch of money on may not mm-hmm. come up at all, you know, very little, come up a couple inches and fall over dead, you know. So yeah, it's very versatile. I've transferred a lot of my plots into clover plots, clover chicory, and it's easy maintenance too. I wouldn't suggest necessarily putting it in for the first time in the spring. If you're going to plant a clover plot, I would plant it in the fall and let it get established through the fall and over the winter time, and then in the spring it'll pop.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, absolutely, I think you should plant clover somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my take on it is I'm right there with you. I love planting clover. You know what I like clover for? Say you have 100 acres, and you know you have bedding on one side of the property and food on the other. Well, let's say in between that you have a couple little kill plots that you can bow hunt over or whatever. And then further away you have this 5-acre field of food. I like that 5-acre field of food to be clover as a destination plot.
Mm-hmm.
Let them come out of the, you know, wherever they're bedding at, hit some, you know, brassica, small brassica kill plots or something. Let them transfer over to that clover plot, because like you said, 9, 10, 11 months of food of clover, and they can spend their nighttime activity in that clover plot feeding, and it's high in protein. So it can feed a lot of deer and sustain that browse pressure, and you could have food year round.
Yeah, it takes the pressure.
Yeah, it takes the pressure, and like you said, it's easy to maintain. Simple mowings, and
You don't have to use chemicals. I mean,
no.
We will use chemicals now and then. I mean, if something gets out of hand, I keep some IMOX on hand. But, you know, worst case scenario, you give it one spraying, sometime near June or July or so. You know, early on, get the weeds before they take off, and you can keep up with it after that just with mowing.
Yeah, get them spraying before they get to seed heads. But yeah, that's what I like it for. Or if guys have just smaller plots in general, it's good for smaller plots because it keeps up with that browse pressure.
It's cheap and easy to plant too.
Yep, cheap and easy.
It can be fail proof, but people overthink it and bury it too deep or something silly like that, and you know, make it hard on themselves. But I mean, it's just something simple you could just put out before a rain. Spread that out on some bare dirt and you'll have some clover pop.
Yeah, I just literally in the mail today, I just got four jugs of Comeback Kid for my uncle. He's going to plant a 2-acre food plot as well. And I have a bottle of IMOX that came as well.
Well, yeah, you have to prepare because he wants his plot planted now. So
yeah, he wants everything. Yeah. I told him I'd get it all for him. So. Yep.
Because you might have some weed competition at first. So.
Yep. Yeah, he had corn in the plot last year, so he went through a couple weeks ago, mulched it up with a bush hog, mulched it all up, and then some weeds and stuff are coming in now. But he's going to spray, kill that, and then he's going to plant the clover. So, gotcha. Yeah, clover. I love clover.
Yeah, definitely.
Here's another one of my favorites. Should you plant buckwheat?
Buckwheat.
Yep. What's your take on buckwheat? Why would somebody plant buckwheat?
I've planted it a few times. I mean, it's nice. It kind of like a smother crop. You know, if it comes in thick enough, you can smother out other weeds and things underneath it. It's great for pollinators. The bees love it. Bugs love it. Turkeys love it. I mean, it's a nice thing to use to plow under for green manure. It holds moisture on your plots. What else can I say good about it? I mean, I don't know. I like it. I don't plant it all the time. But I think a lot of people that are, if they have low organic matter, it's an easy way to get some organic matter into the dirt is to let that grow up for 60 days or so and just plow it straight back in. You know, so yeah, I like it.
Yeah. My take, I like it too. It's good for green manure. You can, like you said, plant for 50, 60 days, till it in. If you're further down south, you can get, you know, maybe two plantings in it if you really want to improve your soil. And I think people underestimate the short growing crop that it is.
I feel people leave it in the dirt too long.
Yeah, because then it dries out. It'll mature, dry out seed and everything. But really, I guess it depends on how thick you plant it and your soil conditions. But usually, I mean, it's going to start flowering up around 40, 50 day mark.
Yeah.
And at that time period, you need to start thinking, hey, what am I going to do with this? Am I going to mow it and turn it back in and plant again? Or you need to move your planting dates further into the summer so it times perfectly to plant your fall plot.
And I feel like there's a lot of people out there that say that, oh, deer don't eat their buckwheat. I hear that a lot. And I didn't have that issue here.
You're saying that they eat it or don't eat it?
They were in it eating it. The tops, nipping the tops off, you know?
Yeah.
I didn't have that problem of them not coming to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they.
Look at when we were sitting around the campfire.
Yeah, and they come out.
There was like a dozen deer standing behind us. Mm-hmm. They were not afraid to come in while we were sitting at the fire talking and browsing that feed plot right behind camp.
Yeah, no, I've seen them eat it plenty. It's high in moisture, You can pull a stalk out of the ground and kind of break it. It shoots out water. It's good for drought conditions. I think it's good. It's kind of a good overall thing to plant to improve soil. Not necessarily to feed deer, but it's more of a weed prevention and soil improvement crop.
Mm-hmm.
And I could be mistaken, but I think it also helps remove excess magnesium out of the soil. Mm. It helps move that out. So yeah. I think it's good overall to plant. Next on the list, could you plant screening such as sorghum or incognito or whatever it is, Egyptian wheat? What is the need for somebody to plant screening?
Well, I like it to screen from roadways and from nosy neighbors. That's why I like it the most. I'm not so much about sneaking in and hiding behind it on my way to my stand, because actually the few places that I hunt that I have screen, those are evening spots anyhow. So I'm going in right after work and stay until dark.
Are you planting it this year?
I will. I will block in my fall plot in front of my tree stand. I'll completely block that in, and I'll mow a little path for them to enter. And I will have it blockaded. Yeah.
Incognito?
It will be. Yep. Yep.
You have now, you got that this year though, didn't you? In your order?
Yeah, I got a couple jugs of that. And if people want to know why, it's a cheap alternative to permanent screening. And mm-hmm. some people say, well, why don't you want permanent screening? Well, I don't want permanent screening because I plant in a field, obviously. I don't want trees in my field. I like to change it up. I blockade some plots off some years, some not. A couple years ago, I planted it in a V. So when they walked down the edges of it, they funneled right in past my stand when they popped mm-hmm. out of it. You know, you can steer deer that way. And like I said, they get in there, they feel comfortable. And screens it off from the roadway. I don't have people, you know, stopping out on the road and gawking or spotlighting at night because they can see a big buck back there or anything mm-hmm. like that.
You ain't got no big bucks.
No, I don't, because all the neighbors shoot them. Dang it.
It's upsetting.
It is.
I like planting it. Like you said too, is that, it's very, you can do whatever you want with it. You can change it up every year.
Yeah.
It's not permanent. So you can try new things. I mean, all the things we tried at the old farm on the old lease, the way we planted it to maneuver deer past our tree stand and block access as well. And some guys complain about it. Well, it just falls down. So it didn't work. Well, yeah, it worked. By the time it falls down, I mean, hunting season's over. Like, yeah. What does it matter? So,
right.
And then one thing that I don't think people realize is that what it does to the soil.
Mm, yeah.
It's a very good soil improvement, especially when you plant it, mulch it, and then kind of turn it back. And it's going to take longer to break down because of the stalks and everything, as it would, like, you know, yeah. buckwheat can break down very quickly. But, man, plant Egyptian wheat incognito. And like, look at the soil, and it just turns it dark, rich. I mean, it, mm-hmm. I don't know the whole thing on what it does to the soil, but I can just tell, like, when you plant it, you know, you just get that dark, rich soil. If somebody's looking for a permanent screen, it ain't the way to go. But if you have a lease property where you're only leasing it for a year or something, and you're just looking for a temporary screening to hide your access, and that's very important to do. So, you know, you don't want deer to see you. So in that situation, I think it works good.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Should you plant sunflowers?
Oh boy.
Sunflowers tear you up.
Yeah. I mean,
you're bitter about it.
I am bitter about it because I tried to plant sunflowers here so many times and they come out of the ground 3-4 inches and the deer would just bite them off and they're done. Mm-hmm.
Done.
Now, for whatever reason, when we planted them at the farm that time and they grew tremendous, 6-7 feet tall, big heads on them, bees all over them, birds in the seed. And I mean, I don't know why they did so good there. I don't know if it was so new to them that they didn't understand what they were or what, but
I was only able to do that the first year. After that, I couldn't plant them. They ate them.
Yeah. I don't know what it was that first year. I think it was just new to them. And
maybe,
man, they looked so nice.
It was.
Now, to a take from that, I think the only way you can get away with it is to plant enough of it, just like the soybeans. Mm-hmm. Get so many of them there that the deer can't wipe them out so that you mm-hmm. at least have some. You can even, you don't even have to go to the food plot blends to get that. You can go to Walmart and buy the black olive or black oil seeds, you know. They'll grow right out of the bag.
J&J still have them?
I think they still have some. Yeah, I think I bought, still get them there.
I bought hundreds of pounds of sunflower seeds from him.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you can still get them there. And yeah, you can go to Walmart and get them even. They'll grow. They mm-hmm. will grow. And I mean, I don't want to say they're easy to grow, but you know, you get pretty good germination out of them, but it just depends on what the deer are doing that year.
Yeah. I mean,
they wipe me out. Cause I thought, well, my problem was I probably should have planted a whole acre or 2 acres of it. Cause I just wanted to till them in anyhow. But mm-hmm. I thought when I did that, when I planted them, what I did is I was going to use that as like a screening. I planted this big, long strip of them and they just went and picked them out of that strip, you know? So, oh, well,
yeah.
Live and learn.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I haven't planted them in a few years, but when I was planting them, I found that I had to plant them in a blend. Hmm. I mix them with some soybeans or buckwheat or something, and they're less likely to eat them. But like you said, I think you need to plant enough of them to do it, or screen them off or whatever to get them going. Obviously people plant them, you know, to dove hunt over them and things like that. Mm-hmm. If that's what you like to do. But another thing is, man, you can really use them for organic matter in the soil.
Yeah.
Get them things that grow them big heads on them things, the stalks, and turn that back into the soil. Man, where that year we planted them in that little quarter acre plot, mm-hmm. that was the best soil out of that entire farm.
It got improved real quick.
With them sunflowers in there. And I had to work them things into the ground with that black borer mm-hmm. disc. I had to go over and over and over and over. But that was the best soil on that entire farm.
Yeah, and what I thought was very interesting about the stalks on them were pretty hefty.
Mm-hmm.
I was surprised how hefty they were. It was almost like bamboo, you mm-hmm. know, almost like a corn stalk. But what I found interesting was that they were eating the leaves off the vertical stalk.
Yes.
Those big elephant ear leaves, they were eating them off the stalk. And yep. they weren't busting up the stalks or the flower.
Nope.
They just did the leaves. Was interesting to me.
It was just a pole with no leaves.
Yeah, it was a pole with a big old flower on top when they got done with them.
But it was so cool. They all faced the same way.
Yeah.
You know, face the sun. And I mean, it was cool. Bees buzzing. I mean, it was cool.
Yeah, Well, that was a, that even made a good video. They should go over and search that video on my.
You have it on your channel too, YouTube. Don't you?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that was what, 5 years ago? 4 years?
Yeah, probably. It might be five now.
Yeah, that was that was cool.
I can't remember what it the name of it is. Something like "It's So Pretty, But We Had to Do It" or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah. You know, we got a lot of hate mail for that.
Got some hate. Why would you do that to those beautiful sunflowers? Well, that's not why what we was plant, after.
Why would you plant sunflowers and then mow them down?
Yeah, well, we had a plan. That's why.
That's right. We had a plan. Next up on the list, we got two more. Should somebody plant brassicas
in the fall? Yes. Yeah, I think they should. There's many brassicas. I mean, there's so. That's a broad term. Yeah.
Let me ask you this: are you excited to plant Wingman this year?
Yeah, I am. I am, and we plant kohlrabi in the garden. I like to eat kohlrabi.
I've never planted it, never had it.
Yeah. So, I mean, it grows, it's got a big green top on it, you know, and it grows above the ground, kind of like a turnip would, you know, the purple tops are like halfway out of the dirt. Well, kohlrabi's usually like almost all the way out of the dirt. It kind of grows on top.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know what though? I don't know if the deer are going to eat the fruit or, you know, the vegetable, the kohlrabi itself. They'll probably eat the greens, but I don't know if they're going to touch the bulb. But it's going to be real interesting. I don't know. Because, I mean, they taste like a radish, you know, is what they taste like. And they're like the consistency of a potato. It's like, you know, that crispy, soft but crispy when you crunch into it. But I like to pick them when they're about like baseball size, because once they get the big, like softball and bigger, the skin on them gets so thick on the outside and you have to peel them, you know, and it gets real like woody stem, just like anything else does after it gets too mature.
Mm-hmm.
It gets real woody like, and you know, the texture changes, the taste changes a little bit. So I like to get them when they're small. But other than that, you know, the typical brassicas are in there. I think the purple tops and I can't even remember what all is in that mix. But I think it's purple top and radishes if I'm correct. I can't remember. But yeah, it's all anything brassica wise. The greens on top, especially. I've never had trouble with them eating them. And then they would come back for the bulbs in the wintertime, dig them all up. Mm-hmm. And if they didn't get them all, then they just decay and add to your organic matter and nutrient levels in the next spring, you know? Mm-hmm. So people get all bent out of shape. They didn't eat them. Well, if you still have the bulbs, don't worry, man. They're still paying dividends for you in the future.
Yeah. You're everything still getting you the benefit,
do, yeah. Everything you do is going to help you for next year, you know?
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. I mean, I think people should. Yeah, I think people should plant them. I think they got to be careful on small plots. They can wipe you out. Yeah.
And you know, don't plant them too thick.
Yeah, you don't want to plant them too thick. And you want to follow the seeding rate on the bag or jug or whatever you get. But I've seen a lot where guys will plant them on little eighth acre, quarter acre plots, and they just, by the end of October, they got nothing left. So you got to be careful. And like you said, you know your property best. How many deer you have? Are you in an ag situation or big woods? But they're very palatable in most cases, and they can do wonders. They can be great attraction. And I just saw a video, I think it was yesterday, from Mike, where he was talking about the Wingman and how he's planting it again this year because the deer where he's at tore it up.
Mm-hmm.
So. Both me and you are planting it this year. I have never planted it. You haven't planted it either.
No, I hope they tear it up.
It's a new blend this year, so I'll be planting that at the farm this year, and I'm mixing in Hot Chick with it this year. Because usually I mix in Comeback Kid, but this year I'm just going to do Hot Chick. So that's a clover and chicory. Clover and chicory that's in that one. So, yeah, I think people should plant brassicas.
For sure. One more.
Yep, last up. And this is one of my, this is my favorite, one of my favorites. Should somebody plant wheat or rye?
I see there is a lot of farmers missing the boat in Pennsylvania. When you go past a farmer's field in the wintertime, they have it plowed up already. It's bare dirt. They don't have any cover crops in there. And some farmers you talk to that plant cover crops think those guys are just idiots. You know, why would they do that? Well, because they think that there's a cost involved. Well, yeah, there is a small cost involved, but the benefits outweigh the costs. It's there again, your plan, whatever you got to do. But yes, if you, if you're planning that, it's good to mix in a blend. It could thicken up a stand of something. Like if you have a failure early on with the brassicas, like we just talked about, if they, if they're starting to wipe you out, you could hurry up and throw some grains on the ground and get that to fill in your plot. And in the spring, why, that'll be the first thing that greens up even before the clover starts to pop. So not only does it, fills in blank spots, it keeps something green in the ground all year. First thing to green up, and then here's Dave's word he loves, allelopathic. They're supposed to, they're supposed to keep chemically, they can kind of shoulder out, bump out some of these other weeds. And control
I'm gonna type that on your freaking forehead.
They can control a little bit of the extra weed growth, I guess, is what I'm I've studied out. I haven't really seen it myself, but they claim it's allelopathic to your soil. It'll help fight off some of the other weed growth.
Yeah, I like planting it because it's well rounded. I like it. You can plant it, you know, 30 days or something before frost, and it's very palatable, attractive. Both work. I kind of tend to lean toward the wheat a little bit more.
Sweeter.
Yep. But it germinates cold temperatures, and like I like it too because like in the, you'll get like a December or January day, and you'll get, you get a couple days where it's in like, where it's like 38, 40 degrees, and all of a sudden it perks up and the deer start hammering again. So you can get those late season days where it's still palatable and perks up. And like you said, it's the first thing that greens up well before browse, natural browse, or even clover. So you kind of fill that gap between the end of winter or dead of winter to spring green up. You have that gap of food there to help feed, and then you know you can kind of work that back into the soil in the springtime and plant.
And that's a good point too. You know, a lot of people that don't figure on planting 365, you know, and they want to know how they can feed their deer all year. You know, that's a good way to do it.
Yeah, like if guys are serious about
help them through a hard winter.
Yeah, if guys are serious about really, you know, quote unquote growing deer or building body weight up or whatever, you need to have something, you need to fill the gaps within your property.
Yep.
What is the gap? Well, is it because you don't have enough natural browse, or is it that you can add to it? You know, fill that gap from the end of winter where there's, I mean, they're scratching, eating leaves off the ground. Fill that gap between that period and spring green up.
And it's healthier than throwing pellets at them and corn and you'll stuff like that, you know.
Right, you'll get way more benefit from it. I mean, have that, it greens up weeks before browse. And if you want to take it to another level, weed and rye is one of them things where spray it with micronutrients, spray liquid for, like, you know, boost it up, feed the, you know, give them the most palatable thing that they can feed on. And do that over a couple of years, and I mean, you see results, but it just really depends. But wheat and rye, 100%, I would recommend anybody,
for sure,
anybody plant it to fill that gap between, you know, the winter and spring growing up.
Yeah.
So those are the most common ones that, people ask, and hopefully that maybe clears some things up or sums it up.
Maybe it'll make someone make a decision for what's best for them.
Right. But ultimately, like I said, you live there, so you kind of got to weigh your pros and cons and look at the whole situation before making a decision. So those are just some ideas to take into consideration.
For sure. So that's episode 70.
Yeah. We'll see you guys on 71. On a roll.
See you
later.